This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Manchester United are back in action, taking that dirty taste out of our mouth after getting beaten up on the side of the head by the City Blues in the derby over the weekend. But United wasn't pretty, wasn't perfect, far from it, but they get a big win in the Europa League just to turn the tide and get some momentum. 3 points. Like I said, far from perfect, sloppy game, scrappy game, too brittle in defense, but a couple nice goals from Rashford, Martial even getting involved. He had a nice goal as well. On to Everton, sir. On to the weekend. How we feeling? How we doing? Happy Thursday.
Is there something with the lighting in like these Europa League away games where it's like it's just every the color on the TV, everything just looks off. It looks like it's like, you know, standard def from like 2003. You know, the feed isn't coming in good, but, you know, we started like the footage looked. Just we were drained, didn't have enough pep in our step, and that error from Sancho and, you know, Malacia, that just embarrassing first half. Really, another embarrassing first half for Manchester United. Ten Hag, like, threw the whole starting lineup at it. There wasn't one player in there, you know, that I thought would be, you know, like a reserve sub, something like I rotate a little bit here. It's ammonia, Cyprus. Do they even pay these guys?
Hard to say, but they needed a win and I get it. And I know what you mean. Like there was no rotation. We didn't get to see any of the secondary players unless you could consider Casemiro a secondary player. And obviously the Lindelof featuring that's because of injuries. So I hear you, but we needed a win. And today was about getting a win, and it wasn't a great win, but if you'd played an even weaker side, then I don't think we would have gotten 3 points today. That's not obviously what United fans want to hear. They want us just dominating our opponent, especially when they're shitty as Ammonia is. No disrespect to the kings of Cyprus, but we should be bossing them. And I just think we saw a good response from the manager in terms of I think it was good to pick a strong 11, and I think he saw what he didn't like in the first half and made changes, you know, relatively quickly, pulling Sancho, pulling Malacia. Those had an impact. Ronaldo had a wicked game, right? If he was on point, he would have had a hat trick, arguably. And I hopefully he just keeps playing, getting chances, and eventually plays himself into form. But Rashford played well. Martial played well. Eriksen had some moments. Lissandro had some moments, and Shaw looked okay, and we move on from here, sir. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, just nothing to see here. Just, you know, on to Everton, and we're just going to ignore that first half ever happened. And, you know, that is the mentality that you have to have right now as a Manchester United fan, because there's so many games coming in October. I just couldn't believe how strong of an 11 Ten Hag put out, and couldn't believe how poorly we started. Now, obviously, credit to the main man, the Dutchman, for getting it absolutely right. Rashford on the left this season has been fire. Martial, you know, we've seen him play at number nine. He did against City, scored 2 goals. You could call those garbage time, but he's looking sharp right now. He's looking fit right now. That's what you want out of Tony Martial. He should be the starting number nine against Everton. I think the side picks itself. There is some momentum there, and the momentum we needed is in the attack. So it's good that we got it. Shame Ronaldo didn't get his goal. I don't think you need to slate the goat of goats. Ronaldo will come good at some point. It's up to the manager to find this balance in this wicked set of fixtures in October. You're going to need Ronaldo in these fixtures. He'll get that record-breaking goal or the 700th goal, the milestone goal. And it's onward and upward. You know, it's on to Cincinnati, sir.
That's right, sir. I don't know nothing about Cincinnati. But I know exactly what you mean. And it's like there's so much pressure on Ronaldo that, you know, they don't even realize because he's had this superhuman execution over the last 2 decades in the world of elite football that, like, hey, football players sometimes go through cold streaks, hot streaks. Like, you know, remember Rooney? He's not on the stratosphere of a Ronaldo, but he was a top-class player, world-class player, and he would go through streaks where he needed to be benched. This guy's 37. He's going to score goals this season. He had a nice assist. I don't even know if he was trying to score an assist or provide a ball to Rashford, but it was a nice assist at the end of the day, and he's going to be productive. He's a good personality to have around. He sets a good example for the young lads after there's been no focus on discipline from a lot of the senior fellas last season. So, dude, I'm bullish on Ronaldo as part of the team. I'm all about, he's here. Let's make the most of it. He will get chances, like you just said. He will get chances because two down, we still got seven more games to go, and we're a week into October.
Yeah, it's like respect your elders, you know. Exactly. Ronaldo did a lot for this club. He's a legend of this club. Just like Wayne Rooney deserves respect. Ronaldo deserves respect. Roy Keane, Scholes, go down the list. The legends deserve respect. He's wearing the shirt. He doesn't have his best fastball. He will score goals for us. Give us the C celebration, Old Trafford. It'll probably be his last year. So this whole, like, hate Ronaldo trend makes no sense to me when we only have, like, two number nines, one of them being Anthony Martial, who's, like, injured a lot. So it's like we need people scoring goals at Manchester United. All are welcome to put it in the back of the net. Sir, quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. We don't have any commercial sponsors on this podcast. We want to go the direct fan support route. If you want to support us, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We do a behind-the-scenes episode every single month. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. There's also a ton of other benefits. Please check it out. We really believe in the direct fan support route. We're almost at 100 members. We're looking for 100 Patreon subscribers, so please check it out if you want to keep the podcast ad-free. Also, check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Great fan blog content on there. We always talk about Ronaldo, talk about the manager, talk about all the results, so please check out our website and our store, americanreddevils.store. You pick up any merch. It's hoodie season, beanie season, scarf season. We have the absolutely fire Munich Air Disaster 65th Memorial scarf. You can pick that up as well. Everything you buy in our store supports this small-time operation. Sir, tell about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews or five-star reviews of the American Red Devils podcast, wherever you listen. It's a great way to support the pod. It helps us get found organically by other Muppets like yourself, and even better, we're giving away free merch from now to the end of time. All you have to do, write a five-star review wherever you listen and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mail-in address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear. Send it right to your door anywhere in the world. We mean that. Just for supporting the pod with these great reviews. We have a great one, sir. It's meaty, but it's a solid review from J Money Honey. A must-listen after every match. Woo, sirs and madams, I've been listening to Alex and John do post-match Manchester United match pod reviews for years, and some weeks I look forward to the pod therapy more than the game. It's two finance bros doing what they do best, being Muppets for Manchester United. Initially, you might be thrown by the number of times they call each other sir, but you'll soon come to embrace it. They have been longtime friends. The banter and chemistry is real, and they can barely pronounce any non-United names. That's probably me. Quite funny indeed. They're also some of the best at calling out all the financial shenanigans of the Glazers. If you're looking for a pro-United anti-Glazer pod, this is the one for you. Reviews, news, transfers, financials, previews, and fan questions. Thank you to the guys for hours and hours of great content. Glory, glory, Man United. Glazers out. What a review, sir. We couldn't have said it better ourselves. Appreciate it. Appreciate all the five-star reviews. We've gotten to 500. Now we're trying to get to 1,000. Keep them coming.
Thank you so much, Jay Money, for that amazing review. Please like, subscribe, review wherever you listen, just because it's just me and Alex. We do this for the love of the game. We have an absolute blast doing it. And I'll tell you, Alex, when he reads reviews like that, you know, it just gives us that extra fuel for the fire. We really do appreciate it. Let's jump into it. You got the Hans and Franz on the DJ.
Unfortunately.
Turntables. Let's go. Wicca, wicca, wicca. I'm telling you, sir, they got to fix the lighting or get HD cameras out in Cyprus, because it looks like they're playing in the dark. It looks like they're playing in the dark. These stadiums.
Every Europa League game has been like that. I mean, maybe it's because we've been to Moldova and Cyprus. Yeah, I assume it'd be better when Old Trafford.
It's like, you know, it's like they don't have lights. They play at night. They don't got lights. It's like it really is. It, makes the whole thing feel, look, Hans and Franz gets me fired up for the game, you know, even the intro, and then you have the lighting, just looks rough.
It's not
just
great.
You know, and Thursdays as well. Nobody wants to watch on Thursday. I don't know why, but it's just a different mood. Wednesday, you feel like a champion. Thursdays, ugh, it's tough, you know. Playing on Thursdays is just like overdraft fees. It's about as fun as overdraft fees.
It's too late in the week. You don't have any time to prepare for the weekend. I'm with you. Overdraft fees.
It's like, but look, how are we doing in the group, sir? Are you feeling good? We're going to win the group here? Group E?
Well, tell me, sir. Show me that lineup. What do you think about it?
Let's get into this lineup here. We got David De Gea, world number one in net, Malacia, Martinez, Lindelof, the low back line, Casemiro. Let's go. So Brazilian flair in midfield, Fernandez, Eriksen, Sancho, Ronaldo, Anthony. Who are you playing against, Real Madrid?
I mean, that 11, I don't know if it's stand up to Real Madrid, but it's a solid 11. If you look at it, there's some beaters on that side. Five-time Champions League winner, Casemiro. I don't know how many times Ronaldo's won it. Probably four or five times at this point, but... Hold on, sir. You wanted your beat drop. Here we go. That's that. That 11, I saw that and I was like, he's taking it seriously. And you know what? It wasn't surprising after we got the shit kicked out of us by City. So, sir, you'd think
why?
This 11 should be.
Why?
Because we needed a response. Because
Everton's the response, bro.
No, but you need a tune up. You need a tune up for Everton.
How'd that go? How'd that tune up go?
We
got to
win.
Half?
We got 3 points, bro. That's all that matters. We got 3 points.
Okay, I have to tell you. We've seen this movie before. You've seen Ole Gunnar Solskjaer play the same 11, strong 11 in every competition. You cannot do that in 2022 with a Winter World Cup in this schedule. Who are the physios at Manchester United? You got, like, fine, play Ronaldo, then don't play him at the weekend. But you can't be playing Anthony. You can't be playing Eriksen, Bruno. Eriksen and Bruno, you can't play every single game in October. So who are you going to sit them? Ammonia looks like the weakest team and the best chance to get one of those guys a rest. Now, I totally agree that one of them should be playing, but one of them should be getting a rest. You could play McTominay, Casemiro. You could play Fred, Casemiro. You have to be thinking about rotation. You have to be thinking about injuries. Bruno and Eriksen are going to be haggard. We have Chelsea, Tottenham, West Ham, Newcastle. We have a lot of big games in the Premier League. And oh yeah, by the way, we're playing Europa League as well. I really think this is a great opportunity to rotate like three or four of these guys because it's a huge month and this is going to hurt us in the long run. It doesn't matter now. It won't matter at Everton. It's going to matter later in the month against West Ham and Real Sociedad. Those are going to be the games we're going to be paying for not resting these guys in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, I see that perspective as well, but I also understand that like, look at the substitute bench, bro. He doesn't have any more center backs, so you can't rotate them. If you could, you would probably. Fullbacks.
You don't need to.
We don't have a second right back, so DeLow has to play. Malacia, no, he'll only play a half.
DeLow can handle it. DeLow is very young. He can handle the load.
I agree. Bruno or Eriksen. Like, Christians are playing too many minutes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Those are the only two I'm worried about. The real critique is Fernandez and Eriksen. Like, you got to rest one of those guys. I'm not worried about Sancho, Anthony, DeLow, Lindelof and Martinez, because Perron's going to come back.
Ronaldo's not starting on the weekend, right? He's exactly. Not going to start. Sancho probably just lost his spot today. Hopefully,
but you know what I mean with Ole not rotating.
Especially like Fernandez, Christian Eriksen. Those players, like you said, they could play every game if Erik ten Hag had his way. And especially Eriksen, you got to worry about his legs. Bruno, we know, has played like a shit ton of games since he's been at United. But I agree, but also like he needed a win because a win helps because you're only thinking about your last game and before tonight. And if they lost today, it would be fucking diabolical, end of the world stuff in terms of how the press is treating it. And now it's like, well, they didn't play well, but they got a win. So it's not as bad.
Yeah, but if I'm the manager, it's almost, you got to play the spin zone, because if you're the manager of Manchester United, you can just come out and you could say, hey, it's Europa League and look at the fixtures. I got to rotate. I'm not taking this competition that seriously, and I got to rotate it. So I'm going to use it to play youth, and I'm focused on the league. People would probably respect you for that angle, I bet. Even if you like drew Ammonia away and you played, you know, Garnacho and, you know, Dubravka, etc. Like, I bet you people would just almost respect that take.
Sir, everybody's got a different perspective. I understand.
But you got to beat Everton.
You know, I'm not as like upset that he played such a strong 11. I actually get it. But, you know, I also see your perspective, sir. So that's the nature of the American Red Devils.
I know. I've just been so surprised how seriously Ole took this competition and how seriously Ten Hag is taking.
Because they both see it as a way to get into the Champions League, right? And it's arguably, in some ways, it's easier than finishing in the top four in the EPL today, because the EPL is so competitive. And this is not as competitive. It's like, we should be able to beat Ammonia. And I agree, it shouldn't require such a strong 11. But, like, do the two best teams that are in the Europa League all in, you know, and this is obviously before the Champions League guys that finished third get thrown into the pots, which could happen, right? Barcelona right now is in third in their group in the Champions League, is Roma and Arsenal. And you know what? I know Arsenal top of the table, but those are winnable teams and easier than winning 38 games or enough games out of 38 games to make it in the top four.
All right, sir, let's jump into the match. Ammonia FC 2, Manchester United 3. Nervy stuff away at the GSP Stadium. First half, United come out in control, but not sharp or dominating. I just think we weren't direct enough. We didn't come out with enough, you know, piss and vinegar to be able to take the game from them. There is a lot of travel. They are playing in the dark. There's a lot of reasons.
Playing in the dark.
Eighth minute, Ronaldo with an early chance straight at the keeper. Antony looking sharp, cutting inside, giving the ball to Ronaldo. I did like Antony. That left foot was awesome today. 15 minute, another Ronaldo chance straight at the keeper. 18 minute, Bruno hits the crossbar very close. So United did have some chances here. And the 27th minute, this is the one I'm talking about. Antony's left foot, world class.
That left foot, bro.
Forced the keeper to make a save. You know, he's still 45, 50 million at most, in right. my opinion. I only disagree on the valuation, but world class, like looking to be a world class left foot, because you haven't seen people hit bangers like that.
Arjen Robin, bro. Robin, dude.
But Ashley Young used to do that from his right, and they lost it as he got older. But yeah. That type of curler from the left, that deep left curler where the keeper actually has to stretch, I haven't seen that since like Ashley Young, you know, circa. I'm dating myself how old I am, but 10 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, 2012. Totally, bro. I can see that. He's the real deal. He also, like, you every time you see him play, and, you know, I've been critical. I think it's really around the fee, like you said, 85 million pounds, a lot of money. But he's strong physically for such a little guy. Like, he pushes defenders off the ball when they try and kind of box him out. And that left foot, I thought it was like a one-off with City, but he's got it on lock because it was the same. It was a great save from the keeper to keep it out of the net.
Yeah, and he provides that balance and attack that we need, but the problem is like Sancho laid an egg, and then so you look at him on the right, and it's like he's doing it, but Sancho is, and then we're one-dimensional. But then you bring on Rashford, and boom, it opens the game.
Yeah.
So you need to have someone on the left wing on lock, which looks to be Marcus, the number nine that is Tony, and then Antony, and we're going to see that hopefully light up Everton at the weekend. But let's get into the shit show part of the half. 33rd minute, Ammonia FC. Don't inhale the ammonia.
Forced further away. Malacia, that wasn't a great touch. Bruno Sousa was quickly upon him, and now there's a charge. He's got support from his friends too. Bruno plays it in. Might have been offside, but Ansarifa doesn't hang about. He finishes. On the break.
Sir, it looks like tape from our high school football games back in the day. That's how grainy it is. You know, Malacia, he doesn't cover himself in glory, but actually the real bad pass is the Sancho pass. Like, you know, this is from a corner that we gave up a goal on the break. And just schoolbook stuff, especially against Ammonia, bro. Like, one thing, like a City breaks you, but this is just ugly.
Yeah, it's you Sancho doesn't need to pass it, obviously. Yeah. But Malacia makes a meal of it.
No,
like,
totally.
Absolute meal of it. Then goes down, that's like a Harry Magoo, try to get the foul. You know, like the, and then it doesn't, you don't get the whistle. And then it's just like, ay, ay, ay. But then the crime, sir, take you to the scene of the crime. The crime is Jadon Sancho yogging. That's the crime. The real issue with this one, I actually don't mind. You're going to fumble. You're going to bumble. This reminds me of what the Demba Ba we played. We're like, we had like no defense. We were so high because you're playing these shit teams, Europa League. Demba Ba went and got us.
Yep.
What was it? Well, that wasn't Zagreb. I forget the name. But
Bakhshar?
Bakhshar, yeah. Another random team. It's Jadon Sancho giving the ball away, makes a bad pass. Malacia loses it, and then he yogs. He's got to go.
And he got hooked.
And he did. He's gonna sit. He's got to sit. That sucks, man.
He's not playing Sunday.
No, he's not. And that reaction tells you everything you need to know. Who ran back? Erickson, Martinez. Dude, it's like that's what you need in a team. And Sancho, you hate to see that.
Especially
Marcus did it a few times last year. Did it a few times last year.
More than a few.
Players who just yog back, especially when they're kind of at fault for the play. You don't like to see that, and you don't like to see another 70 million pound, 300,000
pound a week. He's on 350.
You know, 350,000 a week. Not playing to his potential, because how many times have we seen this movie before? Lukaku, Pogba, Sancho, insert anyone here, Sanchez, who's your Falcao, the jersey that you have, Falcao, like big money players we bring here that don't perform. And Sancho, he's in year two. There's no excuses for him. Year two, he can't find it. Can't be consistent. He's not living up to that fee. You give him another year, sir. I mean,
of course you give him another year.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, how long before he actually like locks in and plays like the valuation of the player he was supposed to be for United. Now, remember, all of his numbers were passing it to Erling Haaland. And when we signed him.
No, he had good seasons before Erling Haaland, but I know what you mean. Like the season.
No,
before
the season
we signed,
that made him 100 million pounds.
We didn't pay.
The 15 assists. 15 assists. I watched it, and I said half of those would not go in if he wasn't assisting it to the freak, Erling Haaland.
Which is true, but sir, he's got his tenure with the manager just started. He obviously got a balking. Let's get into the half, right? So they go down, going into halftime. I'm sure he's getting a balking from his manager. He's still a young lad, but I do agree. There is like a, we saw this with some of the players last season. Obviously, there's a new sheriff in town, and that new sheriff.
There's like Chernobyl, like the alarm's like beep, beep.
Hooked his ass.
Beep, beep.
They also hooked Malacia, bro. You think last man backs will just fall over? And I really like Malacia. He's a pit bull, great player, a lot of potential, but that's just as egregious. Last man back, that is a Harry Maguire move.
But, sir, that's a young player who came in.
Well, they're both young.
Has played well. He was going to regress. That's always going to happen. Young player comes in. Like, starts out of the blocks, 8 or 10 games in, he's going to regress. He's going to make an error. How does he bounce back? That's always going to be a young player. He needs some time on the bench. He'll come back. I like the way Luke Shaw came in, and they're going to go tit for tat and earn the role. That's perfect. That's a fine dynamic. Jadon Sancho, big money, splash the cash, get the guy. He's supposed to come in, light up the EPL. Couldn't do it last year. Starting this year, horrid game against City, horrid first half. And you're looking at another big money contract that I am like, it's starting to turn to the downside, that I'm just starting to see this. We've seen it so many times where you got to give a player a season coming from Germany, but I'm just starting to get a little concerned with Jadon Sancho. Are we ever going to see it?
I think it's too early to call it, because last year was a bust and everybody had a fucking terrible season. And there was neither managers we had were real managers. Ole wasn't qualified to be the manager of Manchester United. I hate to say that. And Ralf Rangnick was a sporting director. You know, he hadn't coached in 10 years. Like, shame on us for appointing him. That's what happens when you have Richard Arnold calling the shots. Sancho, Dude, this is one of the repercussions of doing the Manchester United transfer strategy that we've seen under Ed Woodward and Ed Woodward 2.0. Is like, we like big name, big money, splashing signings that we can drag out for the summer, and then like they have clout. They also become a story. They become a thing that the pressers are talking about Manchester United all summer. Jadon Sancho was like that in terms of the saga. Then he comes in. You still splashing big money. Same with Casemiro. Same with Antony. So, you know, that just United's not like thrifty. I wish they were more doing like Malasias and Eriksons. They like to do big money signings because they think that'll appease the fans. I still think there could be a player in Sancho, but dude, he's 22, and like you said, he's not hitting the blocks, and he's paid like he's in the top five, top five paid players in the Premier League, bro, and he ain't earning it.
Sir,
$350 a week, bro. $15 million a year.
Hey, baby,
that's a lot.
Yeah, like the thing is, like, ka-chung, Harry Maguire, $80 million. He's got to start every game.
I forgot about Harry at 80 too. Yeah, Pogba
has to. Varane has to start every game. Casemiro has to start every game. Bruno, $60 million. You know, has to start every game. Antony, $80 million, has to start every game. Sancho, $77 million, has to start.
And he's got to be the guy. And now he's on the bench.
He's got to be the guy. He's got to be like 10 goals, 10 assists. He has to be the guy on that money. And it's not a, hey, let's hope he figures it out in 3 to 4 years.
I mean, he scored some goals this season, to be fair. He has had some goals. He's actually like played better this season than he ever played last season. So like last two games.
I don't hate Jadon Sancho. I like Jadon Sancho. He's got the skills. He's like every – we go through the list of players. They all got the skills.
I know, but we're doing the game breakdown, so we're at halftime.
I know, but like what is it about Manchester United that just like – it's like the Monstars where they drain the talent out of them. It's like they get too much money or I don't know what it is. We've seen this time and time again. You come to Manchester United.
And, if he went to Arsenal, like, he wouldn't have gotten 350. If he went to City, he wouldn't have gotten 350. If he went to, like, we gave him money that no other club would give. So, like, I don't think that's why he's not playing up to his potential, but, like, only we do that because we blew up our wage structure.
Wise words. A little Jadon Sancho tangent, but it's worthy to see. I'm just like, the alarm bells are ringing. It's not like he's not 100% Falcao. Are not like 100% Paul P.
He's already scored more goals
like,
than Falcao did, unfortunately, sir. In his
yeah, but I'm concerned about Jadon. So let's hope he's listening and he comes out ready to go next opportunity. But he ain't starting against Everton. Second half, United come out kind of rattled, looking nervy the first 5 minutes. You know, Ammonia really feeling it at home. Kudos to the manager changing it early. Rashford and Shaw for Sancho, Malasia. Boom, 53rd minute.
Bruno Fernandes spearing it up towards Rashford. Ball has bounced away, but he's got a chance now. It's Rashford, and it's brilliantly taken. Kept his head. Found the corner. That was superb.
Sir, superb indeed. Unbelievable ball from Bruno, who, to be fair, hadn't played particularly well up to this moment, but that was an unbelievable ball. Marcus does well, gets a little bit of luck, bounces off the defender, goes back to him, and then they just give him way too much space. And it's a great finish from him. Game on. Sir, there's your left winger. He's starting.
Exactly. Locked on. Great finish from Marcus. He needed it. You love to see it. 61st minute sub, Martial for Bruno. Erik ten Hag, everything's coming up roses. 63rd minute.
Here we go.
The tide might have turned back in Manchester United's favour, but they need more to happen yet. Rashford trying to make it happen. Martial, that's terrific. What an impact again. Razor shot.
So we saw the interplay in preseason. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves in preseason. Of course we do. We're United fans. And it was a nice interplay from Rashford and Martial, what we'd all hoped for years and years. Martinez finds Marcus with a good ball. Marcus is kind of like a cheeky back heel, and then great finish. Great quick finish, quick take from Tony Martial, but even before the goalie can get his feet set. Dude, that's a great goal if he could stay healthy. We've been talking about that all season, but really, if he could stay healthy, he was, of course, some goals.
I mean, look, this is right to your tune-up argument. Rashford, Martial linking up. What an amazing touch. World-class touch from Marcus Rashford. He's feeling it. Martial strokes it in the bottom of the net. I think this is good for them for the weekend. Everton, hopefully this mojo continues.
And they're earning their starting spots. I mean, we don't have a lot of depth everywhere, but we do have now that everyone's kind of back fit up front, we have some depth, not a lot, but Martial, he could be your number nine. Take Ronaldo's spot. Rashford, he could take Sancho's spot.
69th minute, Ammonia with a great chance. There, Bruno, one-on-one with the opposition De Gea. He absolutely bundles it. This could have been a tie goal here from Ammonia. You don't like to see that as a United fan, especially considering type of team that Ammonia is. 74th, Fred comes in for Antony. Time to lock it down. 77th minute, Ronaldo, a great chance. Wide open net, slams against the post. He's just unlucky at the moment. 81st minute, sub McTominay for Casemiro. And look, we would get one more. 84th minute.
By Ronaldo, and it leads to Rashford running. Rashford will look for Ronaldo now. Ronaldo will only look for goal, but he's found Rashford. I don't know if it was a shot or an assist, but he's got the latter anyway. By accident.
It was a shot, but hey, his fortune turned a little bit. He should have had a goal earlier, like you said, but it turned into a nice little assist. You can see his reaction that he didn't. He was not expecting it to get to Marcus so well, but slams it home. I thought the manager managed the game exceptionally well. Obviously, what happened next isn't great, but I did like the subs. I thought that was like on top of it. Fred, lock it up. McTominay, bring him in. Casemiro, rest his legs for the weekend. That was good.
Ammonia would get another goal. Make it nervy here. 85th minute.
Might still be an opportunity here. And there is, and it's taken. It's thundered home by Panayotu.
Yeah, getting used to that. Sir, there you go. 3-2.
Hey, there you go. 3-2. Stats. United, 28 shots. We can sleep well knowing that we're just smattering them with tons of shots here against Ammonia's 8. Shots on target, 8-4. Possession, 74% of the ball to Ammonia's 26%. They're always going to defend and try to hit us on the break. Unfortunately, it did work. Match reaction. Manchester United's last 5 competitive goals have come via subs. This is a club record in the Premier League era, beating the previous record of 4 in a row from February 1999, when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer scored 4 as a sub in the 8-1 Premier League win over Nottingham Forest. Having been introduced at halftime, Marcus Rashford became the first Manchester United substitute to both score and assist in a UEFA Europa League match. That one will always be talked about, and they'll be singing songs of it for generations to come. But, sir, what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Erik ten Hag.
Erik, congratulations. Got the result that you wanted this evening. What did you think of your side's performance?
I think we started well. Couple of chances, and then unnecessary down. Mistake cannot happen. We have to take responsibility there. But then a really bad 10 minutes, and we have to learn from that.
You talked about dealing with the atmosphere and the ambience. Conceding in that manner when you did, after having such a good first 35 minutes, is that the worst possible time to do it? It gave this crowd a real lift.
Yeah, so it is. You let the crowd get alive, and you have to avoid that, and we know that all.
The response that you got after half-time seemed really impressive. What did you say to them at half-time in the dressing room? What did you try to change?
Yeah, some couple of things, especially more runs. And we were too static, and we have to make the opposite movement to get behind. And that's why also we make 2 subs in that time, and it had really an impact.
Is that what you were looking for, and particularly for Marcus? He seemed very sharp when he came on.
Yeah, I think and Luke and Marcus, definitely. But also Anthony Martial, of course, with his 2-1. I think the subs had really an impact today. And that is really good. That makes the team stronger.
And on Sir Erik ten Hag, you know, he got his waves, you know, when he's like feeling it. He's a little bit more talkative. Today he was not talkative. His answers were so curt and so short that he is not happy. He is not happy with a 3-2 win. He's as salty as you are when you came on the pod to start it. Like, obviously, we should not be like barely beating some team that you hadn't even heard of 2 months ago. And that's what we want from a manager. If we're going to have a manager at Manchester United that is going to, you know, as we say over and over, take us back to the promised land, which is not an easy feat to do given the owners and the people he has around him, other than his own coaching staff that he handpicked, then I want someone that is going to be like hard to please. And that is what you want from your manager. The best managers in the world, they are hard to please. And you know what? He liked his subs. He liked the movement. He was impressed with Ronaldo, with Rashford, with Martial. And he made the right subs. I think that changed the game.
You look, credit to Erik ten Hag. He's got a whole – he got to raise the bar. It's got to be better than the Cyprus League. That's all I got to say. Let's get into it. Next match, Everton versus Manchester United, Goodison Park. It's the ninth game we're playing in the Premier League. So Everton coming into this game, drew with Brentford. If you recall, Brentford did smack us 4-0. They drew with Leeds. They drew with Liverpool 0-0. They did not play Arsenal because the Queen passed. They beat Everton. They beat West Ham 1-0 and Southampton 2-1. Fat Frank figuring it out. And we're going to Goodison Park. Trap game. Trap game. Trap game.
Yep.
Why are you not resting players for this game? This is an in-form Everton. I would tell you the amount of times I would be thinking about Omonia, Nicosia, FC, and Cyprus would be like almost zero. 100% keeping me up at night would be Fat Frank, Goodison Park. That is the game. I don't care if you came back and won at Ammonia. I care about winning this match. This is where your bread is buttered. This is why I was concerned about how strong an 11. Again, we are playing Sunday morning. That is such a tight turnaround. Friday, Saturday, boom, you're playing. And a lot of players who played away in Cyprus, think of the travel too, coming back. Nervy stuff.
It's a trap game. I won't argue with you on that, but inform Everton. Like, he definitely kept his job. He was on the list to be the first sacked after the way they opened the season. But he beat the 15th and 16th ranked team in the Premier League at the moment. These are not like major sides. It is a trap game. Like, playing at Goodison, they've had our number in recent times, and I don't want to get beyond that. But I think they're the easiest team we play in the Premier League this month. I mean, if you look at it. So,
but they're playing well. I mean,
I know they are.
Everton
we have to be able
was
to
a
do
joke. They're getting relegated. I'm saying they're winning games. They're drawing Liverpool. They're drawing Brentford. They're beating West Ham, Southampton, getting 3 points. You know, it's not like, hey, we'll play West Ham. We'll see if it's easy as a 1-0. There's no easy game in the Premier League. You know that, sir. Premier League. It's tough.
It is, especially, you know, about form. They'll be in good spirits. It's a night game, right? Because it's 11 a.m. I believe Pacific. So that's a 7 p.m. game in England. So it's going to be, they're going to be all fired up at Goodison, sir. Scouse bastards, effectively Scouse. And it's a big match for us. But like, this team's got to rise to the occasion. If we have trouble with Everton, then we've got fucking problems. And we might have problems. But like, I'm confident in the side. I am worried about burnout because, like you said, the matches, they just never stop. And really, the only time for us to rest is when we play Ammonia again at home next week. But very interesting to see what 11 he comes out with. If he goes defensive or if he goes for it.
There's only one thing to do. You got to go for it. You got to play like pretty much the same team as Ammonia, but Rashford and Martial come in. Obviously, we know Everton very well. They play the 4-3-3 under Fat Frank. You're going to look at Maupai. You know, he used the former Brighton troll is going to be coming at us. Damari Gray, you got to worry about him. McNeil, Coleman, you know, it's a depleted Everton side, but Tarkowski at the back, Tarkowski and Cody at the back, plus the slick Rick troll, Jordan Pickford in net.
Apparently,
you know,
we're looking at Pickford, sir.
This is just
going
to be like, you think that we had a tough first half against Ammonia, show up like that at Goodison Park. This one is a benchmark for United. I would argue it's a must win for Manchester United to get everything back on track. Physio room, Dubravka injured. Actually, no, he came back on the bench. Van de Beek, Knock, Williams out. Maguire, Varane, they are out. Dubravka is available, but obviously we know number one will be in net. Sir, give me your lineup for Everton away.
So I got De Gea, net, Dalot, Lindelof, Martinez, Shaw. I'm going to give him a start. Casemiro, Eriksen, Bruno. I think we talked about it all day. Rashford, Martial, Anthony. So that's the 11.
It's rare, but I have the same exact 11 as you because that is the team that will start.
And I think we're both right. I think we both nailed it.
The only one, McTominay, right, for Casemiro right now. That is probably – I actually am going to – I lied. I'm not going with you. I'm going to say McTominay for Casemiro out of that 11 because I'd be very surprised if Ten Hag played Casemiro and then back-to-back. So I think McTominay comes in, but everyone else plays and starts. You're going to see it. This team going playing that many minutes in Cyprus, they're going to feel it at Goodison Park. It's 100%. So, you know, you're looking at the odds, United the favorites, plus 110, the draw plus 250, Everton win plus 240. It's showing up in the odds here. Thursday night football is bad for business because of the travel and the turnaround. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. It will hurt us in the season. Given those are the odds, what is your score prediction?
Sir, 3-1. You know, they get one, and we roll back Martial, Brace, and Rashford with a goal. What about yourself?
Sorry, it's going to be a 1-1. 0-0, 1-1 sounds about right. Miserable game.
Miserable game.
Miserable game. This is going to be like, they are who we thought they were. Yep. That's going to be the quote. This is going to be a tough drag them out EPL. This is going to be a bare knuckle boxing match. And, you know, we know soft serve first half FC. You can't show up like that. We didn't show up in the first half against City. We didn't show up in the first half against Ammonia. And if we don't show up in the first half, Everton will take it to us. So I'm a little nervy. You know, I'm a little nervy. I need more of that Arsenal venom. That Arsenal game, we came out hot. We took them for everything that they were worth. I need more of that, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what. We opened like we opened against Arsenal. We'll blow the doors off of them. Just watch exactly. The inside shows up.
All right. Give me some music for United in the news, sir. United in the news. Not a lot of news this week for whatever reason. Usually there's tons, but this week has been light. The big rumor that came out from Ducker, from The Telegraph, Erik ten Hag has told Manchester United's hierarchy, do not dish out any new contracts until he has determined who warrants them. This is not a post-Derby position or reaction from the manager, I must add. Just wants culture where contracts are harder to win. Great news. I have no doubt that Erik ten Hag wants this to happen. But again, we do know good and cheap, and the cheapest thing that they can do is extend Luke Shaw, extend De Gea, extend. So again, like you said, this comes down to the Glazers versus ten Hag. They're going to clash over what the best for Manchester United is, and like they said on the investor call, you know, we're much further ahead of schedule.
You're not
going to see much more spending next summer. They're already playing down the spend.
Oh, yeah.
And we've gone through the numbers. The credit card is max. We're in the red zone with the credit card. And we need bodies. It's a bad combination. And there's no way Erik ten Hag is not going to feel it. And there's no way there aren't going to be contract extensions that are shockers. Because right now, they don't have the cash to splash out for upfront transfer fees. This time, you're going to see Lindelof extended. Players like that, you're just going to see extension. Obviously, Phil Jones won't be, but players who don't deserve to get it. And again, that comes from the Glazers. It comes from the top. Ten Hag's right. I want the board to listen to Ten Hag. But when push comes to shove, they ain't. Because that dividend is more important than winning, and that's the problem with Manchester United.
Exactly right. Because right now, given that we don't have a real director of football, we don't even have a real CEO, Erik ten Hag is exactly the person who should be making those calls. He should be deciding who deserves a contract, who deserves a renewal, who deserves a new contract, because some of them do, and not anyone else. But here's the thing. We could disagree on this. It's never going to be able to be 100% confirmed unless we hear it from the horse's mouth, which we never will. But, sure, they said he had full control. And then he wanted to get rid of Ronaldo. You can argue against me that I'm wrong, but Joel Glazer wanted to keep him for the commercial reasons. They kept him. I don't think that'll be all bad, but like he's not given full control because you've already seen it there. That was the first thing. That was 3 months into his tenure. Right, is he going to be given full control over these new contracts? Like you just said, no, he's not. Maybe by and large, he'll give guidance, but like the ultimate decider is going to be the Glazers because at the end of the day, they're still running the show. So I want this to be true, but I know in my heart of hearts like how things are really working at Manchester United PLC. And, bro, Joel Glazer, the guy who doesn't know what the offside rule is making the calls.
Sir, it's duct tape. Right. There's no like, hey, we have a $300 million budget over two seasons. We're going to allocate that to you and your team. You guys decide how you want to spend it. You guys decide who you want to sell.
Right.
You know, give us the plan, give us the ideas of like valuations by position, give us the idea of where the contracts are falling off, who you're going to replace it. I mean, like if Donnie Van de Beek came out this week, another point of news, even the Dutchman doesn't want him.
Nope. Another bust of a sign in.
Go to Joel Glazer and ask for another $60 million to sign another midfielder. He's going to be like, no, I signed him already. He's the guy. That's the way this is going to operate. So we all know he's got one, maybe two hands behind his back. We all know this Glazer's out all day, every day. That's what we got to focus on, getting them out of this club. Speaking of owners you don't want, the next bit of news here from the Daily Mail, this came out this morning, Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, they were offered a 30% stake in a Premier League club. The rumor is it was Manchester United. The 30% would be £700 million, and they said, why would I want to pay £700 million for 30% when I could pay £305 million and own Newcastle United and then invest £400 million in Newcastle United and then have them be worth $1 billion? I mean, the Glazers are smoking it, and this shows you how bad and how clueless they are. They think someone's going to give them £1 billion for minority investment. That's how crazy they are. It makes no sense.
It's true, bro. It's exactly right. It's like they just wanted, like, oh, pay us for a piece of the action. You'll get no control. And we're going to just take, you know, a proportional amount of our dividends, whatever, whatever, whatever. I don't know, who knows how the deal would be structured if this was to be. But this is like, you think they're going to take £700 million and invest it in either the squad, the facilities, or the team, or the oversight? You know, no, they're going to pocket all that, bro, because that's how these people think. These people are just like, they would use
$250 for like the stadium, like do one stand, like, you know, duct tape, and then they wouldn't pay down the debt, but they would use others to acquire. They still would just buy them another 5 years,
right? Yeah.
Of this type of management, right? They need the cash infusion. We've talked about it, but what's the key point here? No control. They don't want to give up control. They're not going to give up control to Ten Hag. They're not going to give up control to the Saudis. And for everyone saying that they're selling and that all these fan channels on YouTube know exactly who the buyers are or whatever, if the Glazers aren't playing ball and they don't want to give up control and they're not running a process, they ain't going anywhere. So us fans, and it's already faded. The Glazers out stuff has already faded, right? And this is how fickle the fans are. Why the pod beats the drum every year, every day on this podcast, hashtag Glazers out. We've literally had people just tell us, stop talking about it.
Yep.
That's all how much time. We all cover all it. It is literally like the reason why I'm salty after the Derby is because this ownership is like ruining this club, running it into the ground. It's like unprecedented how horribly they're doing it. It's the FA letting them take over their club. It's something that needs to be addressed. I think it has to come out of that, like almost the government of London. Like you can't be having you have to regulate it in a fashion where the Glazers can't do what they're doing because they're ruining like a cherished, obviously in the UK, a national asset or like a historical asset of the UK, but it's for the world. You know, these clubs have to be protected because United is, look at that stadium, dude. Just look at it. They're gonna start selling off the arm and leg.
They will. That's next.
And like I said, I will get on a plane. I will get on a plane and go to Manchester if they do that. That's how pissed I would.
So you'd be better off going to Tampa. They're more likely to be in Tampa. They don't never go to Manchester.
No, I know. But that's the funny thing on Twitter is everyone from the UK is like, "Hey, America Red Devils, how about you do something?" I'm like, you know, I am farther away from Tampa than you are in the UK, right? It's like the United States is very big.
It's pretty close.
It's not. I can't take an hour train somewhere and just like, you know, I would if I could. If there's an hour train to Tampa, I would take it and go protest. But it's like at the end of the day, United States is like a different animal. But no, I would go to. Dude, that's something where. That's end game.
That's coming,
end
dude.
Game.
That is coming.
That's end
that
game, and that's like but that is that's coming. Burning the mother down. Like, you know, fans are gonna go nuts. Like, you know, like the Liverpool like breaking in the stadium. I was like, that was kind of crazy. But like, if they start selling rights, future rights that are gonna injure the club's potential earnings and
like
give
two
them
decades,
the big financiers,
25 years, bro. Over
exactly
25
like that's,
years?
That's like, dude, that is a bridge too far. Maui Jim Stadium, I could do that.
Nah, me neither. I can't do that. Fuck that.
No, because
no
I can. It's just like, you
it's
know,
120 year old stadium. Like you don't. And then
sir,
it's there's enough
that.
Things to
know,
whore
that's
out.
Such
on Manchester
a bad
United.
Reaction. It's like here's the thing.
It
just like
me.
It's
really
it's,
bothers me.
It's cultural, man. At the end of the day, it's just cultural because stadiums are named
in America, and it doesn't matter. Nobody freaks out about it. In Europe, they're really sensitive to it. But it's just like, it's one of the biggest money makers. I worked for the Kroenke Sports. Pepsi Center paid $10 million a year. It's like an 8-year deal.
That's
it's like
nothing, bro. That's not
like, no, but that was like right, so long ago. Right, but now they ago, pay yeah. like someone would pay $50 million, and that's cash. I'm fine with the naming rights because everyone's going to call it Old Trafford. It doesn't matter. It's just a sign.
I know, but I'm an American and I get offended by it.
Selling the rights of like future earnings rights that's criminal. That's
remember this deal
you know,
wouldn't
like,
be
able to how they can't whore this brand out anymore. You know, they got official Manchester United everything at this point, and then the stadium
falling apart.
You know, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that is inevitable.
No, it's
so two things are inevitable in Europe: naming of stadiums for money and StubHub. That's coming. There's no like I agree the way they do it now is better, and no stadium rights is better, but it's gravity because it's just financial gain, and that's where this is headed. And all-star games. And all that stuff. It's all coming because it's free money that's on the table, and these commercial clubs are going to go after it, right? Your tickets are going to be very expensive. They're going to price up the local fans. They're going to name the stadium. It's all going that way. They're holding it back, but it will happen.
And I hope it doesn't. I think you're right because money always wins, bro. I agree. Like money generally wins. This deal never would have been allowed today, right? If the Glazers tried to LBO Manchester United, they wouldn't be allowed by the government of England.
Exactly, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't for good reason. Because what they do is just loathsome. It's loathsome business owning because they've just like sucked every piece of valuable asset out of this club and are still going, bro. They're like their hunger is insatiable. The greed knows no bounds. So. I know you're right because greedy people they can never stop. So they will likely, if it's not even that, like all the stadiums in England in 20 years, they'll probably have corporate sponsors. But I still think some things should be preserved and should be like kind of sacred. And I like just Old Trafford, not a must.
Jumping to fan questions at United Scout Zero, quote, Rashford, Martial, Anthony, front three for Everton. Ronaldo will be hungry off the bench, and Luke Shaw needs to start as well. He can move the ball. What do you make of that one? We didn't talk about Luke Shaw maybe starting against Everton.
We both put him in our 11, sir. I think astute from our great fans. You know, front three picks itself. They're the most form, and Luke Shaw, Malassi's been playing well, but like you said it. You actually nailed it. It's like young players, they're going to regress. They're going to have good games. They're going to have bad games. He had a shit game today. It's now who's next in line. This is why you need competition. Luke Shaw, you're up. I wish we had the same on the right, actually, but DeLow's probably been more consistent. And AWB, he ain't that bad, is he? But something's going on.
At the Alex Davis 33, I've seen Ronaldo get slated. The finishing wasn't there, but the movement, passing, and attitude was. Everyone may think I'm crazy, but within the next couple of weeks, he'll be scoring on the regular again. He's not done yet. I agree. I totally agree. He's the GOAT. Goes through a bad patch of form. Look. The one thing about Ronaldo you have to say is he's a madman and he's so frustrated after every opportunity. It's not because he cares about Manchester United. He's really worried about himself and his records. I'll tell you.
Which is good for us.
It's like, yeah, but his goals align with our goals.
Exactly.
Like literally. So we need him to score because of these fixtures in October and the fact we don't have depth at number 9, thanks to the Glazers. So no one should be slagging it off Ronaldo. At Love the Bulls 18, quote, I like Ronaldo as much as the next guy, but it's time to let him go. So many chances and not one goal. So that's the other angle on Ronaldo. And last one here at Jamal Mota, quote, Sirs, Hans and Franz with another nervier than expected match. Great goals and gameplay by Rashford and Martial, but our overall attack needs to work. So sad watching your hero Ronaldo struggle so much. He still got it, just needs to catch a break. Hashtag Glazers out. I agree. It will come. I just think it's been – think of what he went through last year, first of all. Think of the people who are slating him online. First of all, what he's done for this club, what he went through personally last year.
He lost his son.
Come on, man. And then this summer, like not being able to leave, and we don't know why, right? And he said he was going to set the record straight, assuming he was going to leave, and that's clearly like – I guarantee you he's going to say it was agreed he was going to leave, and then Glazers made him stay. Like, that's probably what happened.
100%, bro. 100%.
So he got screwed by United, and obviously Ten Hag doesn't want him. So he's sitting on the bench, and he's arguably in his, like, last year of his prime. And so, like, I feel a little bad for him, honestly. But I hope Ten Hag can figure out – if you're Ten Hag and you look at that, who you got, you have to figure out how to get the best of Ronaldo. That's not a Ronaldo Muppet take. That's a Manchester United trying to make top four take. That's a Manchester United trying to win the FA Cup take. You need to get the best out of Ronaldo. You can get him. He can score goals.
And he will. I think the big point away from these questions, they're all about Ronaldo. I mean, the fan comments. Dude, he'll get goals. And he's not in the prime anymore, sir. I don't think he was in the prime since he's at Real Madrid.
No, but
he's
like
got levels because he's the greatest of all time. Like, one of the greatest players of all time. All-time goal scorer. Maybe Haaland will have a say about that in 15 years if he keeps this up. But like you said, like, he's going to score goals because look how much pressure he puts on himself. He was missing chances against like some team you'll forget their name in 2 years, and no one's harder on Ronaldo than Ronaldo. So like, it will eventually come, and unfortunately for United is that Erik ten Hag's going to have to rely on him because, like you said, we have no depth in nine. Martial's been injured the entire season, and when he's been available, he's looked good, but like, who knows how long that will last.
Absolutely right, sir. That's it. That's the podcast. You like the American Red Devils? We are for fans by fans. Please support the podcast. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/American Red Devils. We're trying to get to 100 members. We're trying to keep the podcast ad-free, and we want to go the direct fan support route. We don't want to stumble through ad reads about things you don't need to be buying. Write a review, like, subscribe wherever you listen. If you want to support us, you can also pick up some merch, americaredevils.store. We have some awesome merchandise. Please check it out. So you got our top 10 downloads the last 7 days.
Yachusabes, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Pittsburgh, PA, Phoenix, Arizona, Pretoria, South Africa, Philadelphia, PA, Manassas, Virginia, Jayburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, Sydney, Canada, sir. Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, California, last but not least, Medina, Saudi Arabia. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you, sir. The trap game on the weekend, like you said, Fat Frank looking for a sandwich, looking for 3 points. And Goodison's, I know, we used to have their number, but Goodison's never a fun place to play, especially at night.
U.S. men's national team sidebar, that striker for Ammonia and Nicosia FC scored a banger. He plays for Iran. That's the game we're going to. Now I'm nervous.
Bro, I don't know if you saw the latest FIFA rankings. They're in the top 20 now.
Iran or United States?
Iran hit 20. We're like 16th. Wales is like right in front of or behind us. So everybody in our group is in the top 20.
No, but that guy hitting that goal is Iranian. He's probably going to be starting in some capacity. And as a United States national team fan, that made me a little nervous. I'm nervous. 50 days.
Sir, how does the Cyprus League compare to MLS? Because who's starting up front? Jay Morris, your boy?
I think MLS has got to be better than Cyprus, was all I'm saying. It was a good finish.
It was a good finish.
And you see, that guy's going to be in form. Scoring goals like that against Manchester United, against the MLS back line, you know, we'll see. I'm a little nervous. Going to be nervous stuff here. All right, you got a song for us?
Sir, enjoy your week, everybody. Looking forward to the game on the weekend. Oh, what a night.